Tuesday morning, just after 8:05 on the telephone, we get caught up with City Councilman Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Put down that hot dog, put down that hamburger. Memorial Day weekend's over. You're back to work.
I am back to work, thank you.
Good. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, we had a good time.
Excellent. Now, what did we miss when you were gone? There was a meeting, correct? You had people, you hung out, you made a big vote on something. Were you back for that?
Yes, I was back for that.
Then tell us.
That was the local option income tax, which is money that will be dedicated to public safety, police and fire. It is still in the process because this is a countywide initiative that is started with the Ellettsville Town Council, and they passed the local option income tax, and it came on to us, and our city council passed it 9-0 last Wednesday, and now it will go to the county council for its decision up or down, and if they decide to accept it, then we will have money to cover our dispatch center and also for police and fire safety equipment and initiatives.
Yeah, so, and plenty of money after that because we know just 30% goes to the dispatch center. One of the questions someone stopped me on the street and asked me was, where is the money for the parking meters? What is that going to? Wasn't that supposed to fund some of this stuff we're talking about?
That's money from that will be used more likely for infrastructure projects within the area that we created for the parking meter zone. So it's a little different pot of money. And as you may recall, the money that is collected in the garages is separate from money that is collected on the street by state statute.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was the money collected on the street that was going to help with resource officers, was going to help with upkeep and all that stuff.
That's correct.
Does that money still continue to do that?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the next step in this process is you vote 9-0 to move it forward. If the county council says we're rejecting it, and I'm not saying they're going to do so, I'm just looking for procedural here, what happens next?
You know, then I think everybody would scramble pretty fast because about the only thing that county council can do is they can reject it. And the way I understand it, they can reject it if they were to choose to do so and put up a new, totally different proposal.
Yeah, isn't that where the Ellettsville Town Council comes into this? They started all this, so you have to use that proposal? Marty Hawk's been explaining that to us on Wednesdays.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, once they initiated it?
Initiated
it, then it came to us in the same form. And we could have, we being city council, could have rejected it and proposed something different, but that was not in the plan, I guess. And so now that the city council has passed, they will then go on to the county council.
I guess
the way it could work is that if the county council, in its wisdom, decided to reject it and had a different plan, then I think you probably have to go back to the other bodies, being Ellettsville and City of Bloomington, for approval of that document. But I have heard no discussion from any county council member, with the exception of County Council Member Hawk. She and I have discussed it a couple of times now. I'm not so sure she's opposed to it, but she you know, Marty's a very smart person, and she's you know, trying to find the best way. So, but I don't think the county council would rejected out of hand.
I agree with that. But the thing I think that people are, I don't want to say interested in, it seems like we're getting the money, but we're not real sure what we're going to do with the other 70%. There's no plan that's laid out. You haven't heard anybody say, hey, here's how we're going to do this. It's just like, oh, we're going to fix all our problems. Well, that's what's got people itching a little bit.
Well, honestly, I think that's there's a lot of truth in that, what you just said. And, you know, the governing body has yet to be determined, and there was some discussion in the city council about that. So I think there's a way to go, but what the governing units are facing is, first of all, it's an ability to raise tax for and use that money for public safety, and that's a little bit unusual. But it's an opportunity that will expire at the end of the year, so it's a matter of having to...
What expires at the end of the year? I'm having a hard time getting my head around that, because we ask Marty that every day on Wednesday, and she says, "Nah, we can go do this again next year." What exactly expires?
Not the way I understand it. The way I understand it is the opportunity goes away. So it basically the opportunity sunsets, and
the opportunity
that's the way
the opportunity to raise the rate.
Yes, the opportunity to institute the rate at all goes away.
Okay, not even to raise it, to institute. Okay.
Yes.
I'm writing all this down because I want to get Marty's thoughts on this tomorrow morning, and that's why I love having both of you on the show, is to present these ideas and let people decide what they think is best. Keith Klein is here with us this morning. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good. Tim, is this applicable statewide? Are other units of government trying to do the same thing?
Yes, I would have to believe so.
So because now I'm even more foggy on this. If all of you don't have enough money for your protection services, how did we get in this mess?
Well,
it's not a mess because the sunset at the end of the year has created the opportunity. That's the difference. That's everybody's right. running at the last. This is the last 100 yards before the race is over. So the question Keith's asking, that I think he's asking, is why didn't we do this last year?
Yeah,
why are we waiting to the last minute?
How did we
get
in a situation where every governmental body needs money to provide services that are required?
That's a good question, and I do not have the answer for why people didn't step up earlier. I don't know.
And the other issue is this income tax council that's supposed to meet. When was the last time it met?
That's another good question.
So we're finding all these loopholes at the expense of taxpayers. And I'm going to say expensive taxpayers because that's where the tax comes from. So, and you're running and to find all this stuff. So that's interesting also in an election year.
Well, but now you got to hear what Tim's going to talk about next, because there's a committee of the whole and there's another tax being talked about.
And again, are we going to call this the Lowit or the public safety? We've named it about nine different things. What are we going to settle on here while this moves forward?
I think it is called the local option income tax.
Okay.
Lowit.
And I have fun with – this is our guest, Tim Mayer, city councilman, joins us every Tuesday. I have fun with Tim because we've been doing this a long time. There are serious points in here, but understand Tim and I barb a little bit because it is – we have to laugh at it, because if we can't laugh at ourselves, who can we laugh at?
I think that's true.
Now, what's on the agenda tomorrow night?
Well, you'll enjoy this one, where city council will be hearing a presentation from the city utility director, Vic Kelson, asking for a rate increase for both the water and the sewer portion.
And that's nothing new. We've been talking about that for a while here. This is just the formality part of it?
This will be the, well, it's more than the formality. It is the formality, yes. Last week, on Tuesday after Memorial Day, the Utility Service Board heard the presentation from Mr. Kelson. It was the third presentation that the Utility Service Board had heard, or second, because they heard it in committee and then they heard it as the entire board. And at that meeting on Tuesday, they approved it and forwarded it on to the City Council. The City Council is the governing body, and we will approve or disapprove the request for the rate increase.
So you're not actually setting the rate. It's the rate has been requested.
The rate has been already been. The rate that is being requested has been researched by independent accounting firm. So Crow Horvath out of Indianapolis.
But what you do tomorrow night affects only one half of this. The other half has to go up to the state, right?
Well, what happens if you have to understand that our utility, the City of Bloomington Utility, is water, wastewater, and stormwater.
Okay.
And what we will be hearing tomorrow night will be only the water portion and the wastewater portion of the consumer's bill. And so what will happen is both the water and the wastewater, they're suggesting a 12% increase for both parts of the utility. Tomorrow night we'll have committee the whole, community is invited to come and participate. There will be public comment for them. If the public wants to come and talk about it, the portion of the agenda is open for that. And once once we get through the committee meeting and their questions are answered, we'll reconvene next week in a council meeting and have the opportunity to vote up or down on whether to accept the rate increase.
And why wouldn't you accept the rate increase?
Why would we?
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, personally, I would, because we need to continue to improve our water and wastewater system, so I don't have a problem with increasing that rate to do that. There's a lot of work that must be done, but some council members may feel, and that's why I can't say how the council's going to vote, because I don't know. So
what part of this goes up to the state then, Tim?
So, I'm sorry?
What part of this then has to go to the state for final approval?
So what will happen is, assuming next week that the council passes, the majority of the council members pass it, the sewer rate is not affected by the Indiana Utility Rate Commission, so it will probably go into effect around September. So
you've been in the game long enough. Let me ask a dumb question. Why doesn't it?
Why doesn't it? That is a good question as to why that rate is. I don't have the answer for
because
that.
Basically a municipality could tell you your sewer rate's $950 or whatever it is, and they don't have
true.
Well, these are the things that just jump off the page at me and make me itchy.
That's
and
true.
Scratchy.
You know, answer for that, because that's a darn good question.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate that. Tim Mayer's our guest.
But on the water side, it has to go before the Utility Rate Commission.
Yeah, and that's like the 300-day investigation, right?
That is correct.
Now, if you're putting correct. A sewer up there for the same thing, nobody worries about anything because, you know, it's 300 days. They do their homework. They look into this to make sure the customer
right.
is protected on that. So, yeah, if you could look up that sewer for me, that would be interesting because I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So basically what will happen is the sewer rate, assuming the council passes it next week, the sewer rate will go into effect September of this year, sometime around September this year.
And I'm not arguing with it, Tim. I want
the water rate will go into effect after the IURC, Indiana Utility Rate Commission, has their opportunity. And there is also an Office of Consumer Protection. So that office is an advocate for the consumer. So there's a discussion back and forth between the Rate Commission itself and the Office of Consumer Affairs.
Do you have any background, Tim, to know how often they either lower or reject an action like this?
No, I don't. But they do have the ability to say, well, you're asking for 12%, but we think it should be 10%.
Okay.
So they do have the ability to
Would that then come back
that
and then you'd be another 300 days?
No, I don't think so. I think once the IURC made their decision, then it most likely would have to come back to the council for an approval, but that would then go
at what could be a slightly lower rate.
So the consumer, that is correct. So the consumer will be looking at a rate increase on the sewer side in September of 2016. Theoretically.
Would you say that could amount to average bill-wise?
The average bill increase for both sewer water will be at about $9 to the average consumer's water bill per month.
Okay.
So, and we could talk at length about what the improvements will be, but, you know, just for openers, we are dealing with disinfectant byproducts in the water system that we're trying to ratchet down as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that will, one of the proposals is to have a standing protocol for flushing the system, which will require more personnel and equipment. So that's just one little tiny proposal of it. Some of the water pipes under our streets are anywhere from 75 to 100 years old. So some of those need to be replaced. And you know, it just goes on and on from there.
But. Yeah, it's upkeep, it's maintenance, it's everything else that people...
That's correct.
They want. I don't think there's... And the reason this even comes up is because you just told us it takes 300 days to put this together. Well, you can't just shoot this out every 6 months mm-hmm. to inch it up a tenth of a percent here or a tenth of a percent there. That's why it jumps like this, correct?
That is correct. And also... For reasons beyond me, I'm not quite sure, but when we went through the big rate increase about 5-6 years ago when we did the plant expansion, the redundant line, and the new water tank, The Utility Service Board, you know, basically said we have to address this, our rate structure on a more frequent basis, and they set it at about 2 to 3 years. I think it was the transition and the election and all, the city election, the transition and all, that rate increase was pushed aside, or that opportunity was pushed aside.
No, I know this isn't your department per se, but when does this end? We know pipes need to get fixed. We know water needs to be treated. But 5 years ago, no one was talking about that. Was this a priority level? Is there a list of things next on the list? Or are we just, because it seems like once you get the infrastructure done and you get the chemicals, hey, what else do we need to do?
Well,
I know it doesn't work that way. I know things break, but that's... But you're talking about some really big capital projects here that should be taken care of.
Well, you have to look at the water system and the storm and the wastewater system as basically a very large running machine that has parts that wear out, and that's basically what is happening. So you have pipes that are wearing out, which will, if at all possible, will be relined as opposed to totally dug up and replaced. You have pumps and electric machines that are moving water and sewer water around the system, and you know, so we're constantly under Indiana Department of Environmental Management and the United States Environmental Protection Agency for, you know, to keep ratcheting up how pure the sewer water has to be before we can discharge it to a creek. Those sorts of things, and how pure the water is that comes out of the tap at your home. So there's a ever increasing, never ending requirement on the system, and that's what we're trying to do, is maintain that system at as high a level as we possibly can.
Tim, you said something a moment ago that strikes me and helped me. You said the sewers under the streets, that pipes under the streets, and need to be taken up and all that. Does this fee include now having to fix streets too?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So the money is inclusive of, it's not just the pipes underground and now we got to worry about repaving and resurfacing streets too.
That is correct.
Okay.
But typically what happens is, because, you know, street paving is a different part of the city. And that's,
yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Public work. So typically what will happen is if the utility sees a project that needs to be done, that's going to interrupt the street, they work with Public Works and try to work it into, say, Public Works' paving schedule so that, you know, if the street's going to be repaved at some point in time anyway, then the street gets paved.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah, somebody's paying for it. Public Works is paying
that's
for
right.
it.
Instead of they've already opened up the street, though, so we'll just
that's
jump
right.
in.
So, I mean, there is some logic and some smart people working on this to make it as efficient and cost effective as possible. So.
Now, you've been in government how many years now? Just a thumbnail sketch. You don't have to give me the whole thing. Just about 25 years. Is that, would that be accurate?
Yes.
Should we have built water lines above ground when this all first started?
No.
You want to keep them underground?
No, yeah. Yeah.
Put the electric under and put the water above.
Well, I mean,
what would you do in really, really cold weather? The pipes would freeze.
Well, that's a good. Well, the insulation. That Pink Panther guy, everybody would come out and wrap up. Like, you know, like they put those knit things around the trees downtown?
Yeah.
You know they did that?
You'd bump your head on the pipe when you
that's
went
a good point.
Under the pipe. You know?
That's right. Especially if it's frozen, that'd be really cold.
Well,
as well,
bicycle lanes and pipe lanes.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, Tim, what time's the meeting tomorrow night?
The meeting will start at 7:30. It is a committee of the whole, so we will get to work right away. There's no folder roll before the beginning of the meeting, and we'll, as I say, the public is always invited, and there are portions on the agenda for the public to speak about the issue at hand, which tomorrow night will be sewer and water rate increases.
And sleeping bag or no sleeping bag?
I suspect it'll be a pretty good discussion.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'd say maybe take a pillow, maybe not
okay.
a sleeping bag.
Well, that's how we gauge the time, how long these meetings will.
That's what we need. We need a rating system.
Oh, we do?
You know? Yeah.
I will send I will send that up to the state, and in 300 days I will have a system ready. Regulated
it's
for
a
your protection.
Meeting.
That's it. It's a one pillow meeting. I like that. It's like stars.
Mm-hmm.
How many stars? It's a, all right. Good job as always. We appreciate the time. 7:30 tomorrow night at City Chambers, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great.
All right.
Talk to you then.
Good
Bye-bye.
Job. Tim Mayer, city councilman, checks in every Tuesday morning. There is debate on, again, it's sore water tonight. Local income tax, they've passed. That's
right.
Done. We talk to Marty tomorrow about low it and what the county is going to do. Well, the county meets tonight, so you're going to hear what they are doing with that, why they did it, how this is coming apart. And people have questions about it. This is not easy to follow along, and I get it. And the big question is, and Marty and I and Margaret have been going around, and Tim has been going around, with the why does it end at the end of the year? Why does one side believe it does and one side believes it doesn't? And that's the question to all this. I don't have the answer for you. That's what these two government representatives are talking about. And philosophies in government different all the time. You think this is better to do. I think that's better to do. And then the lawyers all sort it out. That's how things happen. But we appreciate the feedback you're giving us. Good job tuning in. And thank you. And it's not easy to handle, but it is your tax money. You can just smash it under the rug and not worry about it, or you can just, you're rich and you don't care, you can pay, that's great, but the greater good has to factor somewhere in here, and to make sure that it is properly spent at not a rate that's it's and then we want another tax, and then another, and you get a tax, and you get a tax, and you that's probably not how we want to do it.